welcome tonight.
Well, good evening. Oh, that was sad. Come on. My man Clyde told me you all were loud. That was weak. Come on now. Good evening. All right. I hope you're excited because I'm sure excited. What beautiful worship. That was beautiful worship. Thank you guys so much. It was so encouraging. Tonight, I hope you're ready to go. I've already apologized to this dear lady right here because and the Spanish translator, I've apologized to him wherever he's at as well, because once I get wound up, we go. All right. So put your seatbelts on because we're going to go. There's a lot we need to cover, and the name of the ministry is Reasons for Hope, and I pray that you would lift us up in prayer, because think about this for a second. There's lots of reasons for hope. There really are. There's lots of reasons. How about this? Money in the bank. Yeah, the economy's kind of taking the wind out of that sail, so that can go away. Okay, I know what it is. Health. There's a great reason for hope. That can go away overnight, too. Okay, looks. There you go, looks. Well, the only problem with that is that looks change. Trust me, I look a whole lot different now than I did 70 pounds ago when I got married. I quit counting years. So, but if you notice up on that sign up there, Reasons for Hope, there's the asterisk. The asterisk always leads to the answer, and his name is? Because you see, he is our hope. Nothing can ever take that away from us. And that's what we're about. But as you were told, we really believe that when it comes to our faith, we need to know it, live it, and share it. And so that's what we've tried to do is, look, apologetics is very important, and that's the talk that you're going to get tonight. Sorry, we're going to deal with some apologetics. But you see, you can have all the answers in the world. You can beat everybody up with your IQ. But if your life and your lips aren't in sync, go home. It's called hypocrisy. And there's a lot of that going on. So I'm not here to beat you up with IQ because I can't, all right? I grew up around guys with one name, Crusher, Bruiser, Mauler, Assassin. My father was a professional wrestler. Trust me, I am not going to impress you with my IQ tonight, okay? It's just reality. IQ is not stressed in the home of a professional wrestler. So the live it part is very important, but so is that know it part, but then the share it part. Because guys, we live in a world right now, I want you to think about this. Please hear my heart. There are over 400,000 churches across the nation of America. We are the most Christian nation on the planet. We have more Christian shirts, more Christian shoes, more Christian wristbands. We got Christian everything. I love speaking in Calvary's because I don't have to wear a tie. You know, we've even got Christian ties. I know you probably won't find them in your store out there, but there are Christian ties. And I don't like ties. And I have a very specific reason why I don't like ties. It's biblical. When you wear a tie, you are celebrating the curse. There were no ties prior to Adam sinning. You can't argue with me. And I can show you in Scripture where ties come from. Genesis 4:15, Cain killed his brother. God put a mark on him. God stuck him in a tie. That's my theology, okay? I'm sticking with it. You can't prove me wrong till we get to heaven. Now, guys, we got Christian ties, but let's be honest here for a second. 400,000+ churches across the nation of America, 6,000 first-run theaters. Which one is impacting this generation more? 400,000+ churches or 6,000 first-run theaters? Be honest. This is not mean-spirited. This is reality. We're losing 50 to 88% of the young folks that are raised in the church. At age 18, they're walking away and they're gone. So my heart's breaking. I mean, I've been called to go after a younger generation. I've been called to go after fathers. Ladies, do not think I'm disrespecting you in any way, shape, or form. But gentlemen, we are the issue. We're losing 50 to 80% of our children in the days of complaining about the government, the days of complaining about the church, the days of complaining about the schools have got to quit. Because if we're losing our children, we're the fault. Because they're my responsibility, so I've got to go after them. But one of the things that I like to do is, how do we take our faith and really apply it in the real world? That's why we're going to do a Know It session tonight. And I pray y'all don't bounce me out of here, and maybe we get to do a live it session later on, but something like that. But tonight we're going to focus on this. In the beginning, God created, or did he? Because you see, you and I live in a world that is absolutely attacking that message right there. That God created? Now, everybody has commercials. Can I show you one of my commercials? Doesn't sound like it. Can I show you one of my commercials? All right, hang on. Here's one of my commercials.
theory of evolution.
You know, why is that?
Why is what?
That you're a theory.
Well, because I sort of kind of haven't been proven at all yet.
Well, what do you mean yet?
Well, there's a lot of scientists still trying to prove anything about me.
Oh, how's that coming?
Yeah, not so good.
Not so good?
No.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, it's okay. What about you?
What, proof?
Well, yeah, why aren't you a theory?
Well, because every design has a designer.
Ah, but what if that design is random?
That's not possible.
It has to be.
Why? Hey, look, it's the missing link.
What?
Now that's random.
To my PC brethren, I apologize. I'm a Mac guy. Now, if they're only PCs, I might have to give evolution a chance, but no, there's Macs. Okay. Now, here's where I'm going with this. Okay, guys, I want you to think about this. We live in a world that's absolutely attacking this message that in the beginning God created. And now we're sitting here, how do we deal with all this evidence that's out there that's being used to prove to our children that are spending 900 hours a year in a school system? That's the average time a child spends in a school system is 900 hours a year. And then 1,064, listen to that, 1,064 hours in front of a TV set. 900 hours in a school, 1,064 hours in front of a TV set. By the way, any parents out here with gamers, you need to have my son come and talk with you because he does a whole session on video games, the messages that are in there. And I'm not talking sex and violence. I'm talking how God is depicted, how the Bible is depicted, how Christians are depicted, because the average gamer is spending 18 hours a week in a video game. And if you don't think that there's messages in there, you better wake up. There are messages in there that are absolutely attacking and undermining the Word of God. And how do we deal with the evidence? Well, let me give you a simple illustration, okay? I'm going to ask you a question up here. You ready? How do they get the balls to roll uphill? I'm going to help you because I'm a nice guy. There's no magnets. There's no strings. There's no reverse photography. There's no air. That was a really good suggestion somebody gave me. You see, the first thing that I challenge younger generation, you better question the question because, you see, I can ask you a question in such a way that you can't give a correct response. So what we need to do is look at that evidence and understand this. We live in a world that is training our children to look at the world from a very specific perspective. But now let's take that evidence and let's just twist it a little bit and let's take a look at that evidence and let me ask you the question again. How do they get the balls to roll uphill? They don't. Parents, grandparents, we live in a world that is teaching our children to look at the world from a very specific perspective. All I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to take the exact same evidence that the world has, and I'm going to twist it, and we're going to look at it from a different perspective. We're going to look at it from this perspective, from the only one who's always been there, who knows everything, who told us what happened, and can we trust him? In the beginning, God created. What does he say? Well, let's start with the Word of God. God said, that needs to become the rallying cry of every Christian. God said what? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, let's keep going. And it says this. God said, now, I don't want to run by that. Remember I told you that needs to become the rallying cry of every Christian? Do you know how many times that simple phrase is used in the Scripture? 46 times God said is used in the Scripture. Do you understand that the Bible doesn't claim to be a good book? It doesn't claim to be a spiritual book. It claims to be the Word of God. Over 3,800 times it claims to be the Word of God. By the way, of those 46, 28 times occur in Genesis. You think Genesis is important? You better believe that it is. God said, what did he say? Oh, hold up. Before you go running, Carl, we live in a world that even in the church, God said, oh, he didn't really mean that. I know he said he created in 6 days and rested one, but he didn't mean that. I know he said that there was no death before Adam sinned, but he didn't really mean that. I know he said we all go back to one man and one woman, but we got big issues with that one. So he didn't. You think I'm speaking quickly? Put your seatbelt on now. Because I'm going to go after that little phrase, mature generation. This is geared for the younger generation with a 2.2 second attention span. You know what I'm talking about? ADD, brother, if they knew what ADD was when I was a child, they would not have put me on medication. They would have had me on an IV drip with one of those hospital stands. It's the way my mind runs. I hear these things all the time. Well, God, I know he said that, but he didn't really mean it. Well, I'm going to debunk that. So put your seatbelts on. Let's go after this myth that God didn't really mean what he said.
Got a question for you, Christian. Do you really believe God meant what he said in the Bible? First off, we need to remember that the Bible is actually God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is breathed out by God. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 states that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is the word of God. So these verses, among others, claim that the Bible is God's word. But is God's word true? Well, ponder these propositions properly presented in paraphrase perfection. Psalm 119:160, John 17:17, Proverbs 35, Ephesians 1:13, Colossians 1:5, and Numbers 23:19, just to name a few. These declare God's word to be true, the word of truth, the sum of truth, the power of truth, and that he cannot lie. Because of that, the Apostle Paul declares, we refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. So, according to the Bible, the Christian's ultimate standard, God can't lie, the Bible is God's word, and God's word is truth and ought not to be tampered with. Now, let's peek at some of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 to see if he really meant what he said there, okay? Don't murder. Yeah, pretty clear. Probably meant that one. What about don't lie? Pretty ironic if he lied about a commandment that forbids lying. Then there's don't covet, don't commit adultery, don't worship other gods, honor mom and dad. Is there really any confusion about these? Huh? Sound like poetry to you? These are the Ten Commandments, people, written directly by God. They aren't the ten songs, illustrations, or ten metaphors, okay? And they're obviously written at face value with clear meaning and purpose. Selah. But what about other scripture that God didn't directly write on special tablets? Well, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4 says Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Now, which part do you think that God didn't really mean? Which part should we discard because somebody says otherwise? Which part is just metaphysical, metaphorical, just a spiritual lesson? I'm going to go out on a limb and say none of it, because it's all true historical stuff. So what's my point? What's the big deal? Well, it's this. The same non-poetic, clear, historical, straightforward style used to write the Ten Commandments, the Gospels, Paul's letters, and most of the other scripture is also used in Genesis 1 through 11. What's the point? I'll tell you. Some Christians think that section of scripture doesn't mean what it says. I guess because some guys in lab coats told them the earth formed over billions of years and what really happened is completely different from what the Bible teaches. Man's fallible understanding trumps God's infallible word all of a sudden. So I guess that God didn't mean what he said when he had Moses write, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, .. and there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. 6 days. Now that's the part God must not have meant. Well, just in case you think that, let's shimmy slide over to the very Ten Commandments, which we already established as something God really meant, and take a gander. Exodus 20:11. Right dab in the middle of the fourth commandment, it reads, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. There it is again. 6 days. So now what? You're going to believe that God only meant 9.5 of the Ten Commandments? Careful, because Jesus said if you believe Moses, you'd believe me. So if you don't believe God meant what he said in the first few chapters of Genesis, why believe the Ten Commandments or the words of Jesus, the Gospels, or the words of Paul? And if you only believe some of it, how do you know what to pick and choose? Tamper, tamper, people. Now, let's get to the bread and butter here, okay? God could have made heaven and earth over billions of years, or in 6 seconds, or in 16 hours, or he could have done it by throwing happy dust around, or by pulling it out of a giant hat. But since he cannot lie and his word is truth, he couldn't have done it any other way than the way he said he did it. Make sense? So this idea that God didn't mean what he said, especially when it comes to how and when he created everything, has been debunked. Adios.
If you can't tell, I'm not like one to shy away. I think we just got to go at it. Now, my question in your salvation, because you don't believe in the 7 days, or the 6 days, I should say, in young earth, I'm not questioning your salvation, but I'm going to challenge you on your interpretation. Because you see, the Word of God is the Word of God. And when God, Jesus Christ, can quote Genesis as real history, 25 times, by the way, he quoted it as real history, you better believe that me, the fallen, fallible sinner, can take what God said. But this claim that, oh, God didn't mean what he wrote, well, let me put it to you like this. I think that's been debunked. Now, let's jump back into Genesis, because what does it say? God said, we'll get back in here, let us make man in our image. By the way, do you understand? There's our value. There's our worth. We are created in the image of God. The world wants to tell you that your value is based on your bank account, based on your looks, based on your ability to throw a ball, catch a ball, kick a ball. Hey, if that's where your value is, what happens when you don't look so good? What happened when you're not as talented as you used to be? No, your value is based on this. The creator of everything created you in his image, literally knit you together in your mother's womb, and loved you while you were still spitting on him enough to die on a cross for you. There's your value. Don't let the world lie to you. And he goes on. So he created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You don't think that's important? Let's go to Matthew 19. What did Jesus Christ do right here? Jesus Christ in Matthew 19 uses a very interesting phrase. Have ye not read? By the way, he used that phrase 11 times. Have ye not read? Think about this. Jesus Christ asked a question. What does he do? Have you not read? It is written. Have you not read? It is written. It's almost like this. Guys, you've asked me a question. I've given you the answer. Why don't you trust me? Just read the book. I don't need somebody's wisdom to tell me what he said. Read the book. Have you not read? What does he continue on to say? That he which made them at the beginning. Oh, by the way, Adam and Eve were there from the... Oh, from the New Testament on, right? No, God said Adam and Eve were there from the beginning. You can't have millions of years of death and suffering before Adam and Eve ever came onto the scene. Why am I hitting these things? Because we're going to talk about it in a second. And then he continues on to say this. He made a male and female. There you go. There's marriage. Don't care what the world says. Don't care what the laws state. I know the author. I know the creator of the institution of marriage, and this is not hate. He's the one that set the standards. And it's true love to stand up in the face of people who are going to shout you down and be angry. You're a whatever you want to call me. No, I love you enough. I'll speak the truth. God created the institution of marriage, and it's male and female. And then he continues on to say this, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Guys, what did Jesus just do? He just quoted Genesis 1. And by the way, watch this. Let's go on to Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave. He not only quoted Genesis 1, he quoted Genesis 2, and he quoted it as real history. If Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, can take it as real history, you and I better. So in the beginning, God created. Or did he? Because you see, there's the other story that our children are getting beat up with day in and day out. Why would I talk about this stuff? Because this is a tool that is being used to get us to doubt this. And way too many parents and grandparents won't talk about this because they don't know enough about it. And all they'll do is, just trust the Bible, just trust the Bible. Why should I trust the Bible? Because it's God's word. What do you mean by that? What about, why would a loving God allow death and suffering? What about carbon dating? What about continental drift? What about light from the furthest star? What about aliens? What about UFOs? Don't worry about that. That's a side issue. God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. This generation doesn't get that. Because number one, they don't know who God is. Let's be honest. Come with me to Japan. There's 166,000 gods in Japan. Go stand on a street corner in Japan. God loves you. Which one? Are we any better in our culture? By the way, does this generation know love? How is love depicted in that 900 hours a year in the school, 1,064 in front of a TV, 18 hours in the game? That's not love, that's lust. So they're being taught to look at the world from a different perspective. Oh yeah, no, that's not love. By the way, wonderful plan. Seriously? Go tell younger generation out there that God has a wonderful plan for their life. You know the response that I get? What kind of a loving God would allow such death and suffering? They don't see a wonderful plan. They've been taught to see the world through the lens of millions of years of death and suffering. They've been inoculated from listening to the gospel. This is why we talk about this. But what's the truth of that picture that we just saw, that progression, ape-like ancestor to people? Let me let a non-Christian tell you. There's a popular image of human evolution that you'll find all over the place. On the left of the picture, there's an ape. On the right, a man. Between the two is a succession of figures that become ever more like humans. Our progress from ape to human looks so smooth, so tidy. It's such a beguiling image that even the experts are loath to let it go, but it is an illusion. I like illusions, but may I say to you, I am not going to put my eternal salvation in an illusion. And what he just got done admitting to you, non-Christian admitting to you, is that progression from amoeba to us is an illusion. Let me give you a simple tool. Critically evaluate the messages that the world has thrown at us. When you do that, you can start using things in the culture to make points. Take a watch.
Tostitos, how'd you think of these Scoops chips?
It was the 1990s. Dips had become extreme. Layers of intense ingredients. It was too much. No! I was a broken chip, and I needed to change. But how? I wandered the world looking for answers. I looked at stuff. Then it hit me. I changed my shape. Now I'm ready for any dip.
Even this big old dip? Booyah!
Bring it!
Bring it!
Booyah!
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 I wish you could see your faces. Because some of you are like, what? Okay, let me ask. I got to know my audience. Is there anybody in here that genuinely believes that a bag of chips can talk? Very good. Those are really tough ones to have conversations with. Okay. Anybody genuinely believe that a chip all by itself can change its shape? Good. Okay. So you won't accept that a bag of chips can talk or a chip can change its shape, but we will accept this?
Over the course of 14 billion years, hydrogen gas transformed itself into mountains, butterflies, the music of Bach, and you and me.
So you won't take the talking chip, but we'll take the hydrogen gas over the course of 14 billion years, transforming itself into mountains and butterflies and Bach. I got one word for you. Really? I mean, I'm supposed to be afraid of this? No, no, no. The only reason we're afraid of this is because we've never been taught how to deal with this. So let's deal with it. What's one of the tools that's being used to do this? Oh, the whole ancestry, human evolution. This is London, London Natural History Museum. Come with me sometime. I lead tours through the Smithsonian, through the Natural History Museums, through the zoos, aquariums. I call zoos, museums, and aquariums weapons for mass instruction. You start teaching a generation how to apply their faith in that world, oh, it is a game. I love it. This is all the evidence for human evolution, and Charlie D ought to have it if it's there, all right? London Natural History Museum. But we're not going to go there. We're going to go to the television. Because our children are watching 1,064 hours of it a year. And so we're going to take a couple of programs, and I'm going to run through as much as I can here, and we're going to hit some things and critically evaluate the messages that are coming after us. The name of this television program is called The Link. Oh boy, we're in trouble. They have The Link. Remember Ida from a couple of years ago? I mean, Ida was so big that she got her picture on Google. Come on now, you get your picture on Google, you are big time. And the headlines were huge. Missing link found. We are toast. They got us. When you read the headline, I mean, come on, what can we do? Scientists unveil the missing link in evolution. There's no question about it. I mean, the website is amazing, The Link. By the way, they also wrote a book. You know what the book was called? The Link. And they even had a t-shirt. You know what they called the t-shirt? They have The Link. And guess what they call the website? No, that was already taken, so they call it Revealing the Link. But you can go there and check it out, because I want you to study for yourself. I don't want you to trust me. I'm a Christian. You need to check for yourself, because you need to have an answer for the reason for the hope that lies within you. You don't take what you hear from me and regurgitate. You go and study for yourself. I'm a sinner. I'm fallen. I'm fallible. You need to study for yourself. You need to be a Berean. You go to this website. It's amazing. The Link, Uncovering Our Earliest Ancestor. It has got so much information on there. Let's just kind of jump right into it, though. We'll come inside here, and we push on this really cool little button, and we can go see from Ida to us. Wow. We can see the progression from Ida, our earliest ancestor, all the way up to us. You know who Sir David Attenborough is? Listen to what Sir David Attenborough had to say about Ida. She is important.
Now people can say, okay, you say we're primates, like monkeys and apes, and that we came from very simple, generalized mammals. Show us the link. The link, they would have said, until now, is missing. Well, it is no longer missing.
That's it. Give it up. We're done. By the way, critical thinkers, parents, teach your children, grandparents, teach your children to critically evaluate the messages that they're getting. He just made a startling admission to you. Did you hear what he just said? The link they would have said until now is missing. Well, it is no longer missing. What does that mean about all the other links they've been jamming down our throat for the last 150 years? They're no good, because now they have the link. Eda's the link. Oh, if you get rid of Eda, everything else crumbles. But we'll deal with one more, hopefully. We'll see what we can do. Hour and a half program, okay? Hour and a half program without commercials, 2-hour program with commercials. I went through, this next clip is a montage. You know what I'm talking about? I pulled snippets out of that hour and a half program. Listen to some keywords. Now, what was the name of the program again? Okay, you got that. Now, listen and see if any keywords jump out at you here.
The team thinks they believed it could shed new light on human evolution. She seems to be a bit of both. This could be it. It could help science. Could everyone on the planet be connected to this amazing find? Could hold the clue to link Eda to man. Could reveal her ancient behavior. It could shine a light deeper into our history than ever before. Could show whether it's a link to man's early evolution. They may have found the first ever link to human beings.
Any keywords jump out at you? Oh, could. May I go out on a limb here? Get it? Evolution? Limb? Cool. Come on now, stick with me. This is not easy. I'm working hard here. Okay, now think about this. If it could be a link, then it could be a lemur. Right? And what should I do to figure out if it's a link or a lemur? You know what I should do? I should set aside, this is a direct quote from a non-Christian saying that Christians don't want to do this. Let's set aside our preconceived ideas and follow the observational evidence to its logical, testable conclusion. Let's do it. Let's take a look at the evidence and see where it takes us. And remember, we're going to go to the link website, and there we're going to push on a really cool button right there, Eda's anatomy, and there it is. There's Eda. Let's blow it up. There's the observational evidence. Let's push the buttons and see what we can get. Well, let's first listen to a clip.
When you look at the fossil for the first time and you get an impression of the completeness and you start to look at all the different details on this fossil, it's a quite short face. It's not like a very elongated face like you see in most lemurs. That's comparable almost to us because we got a very, very flat face.
Boy, we are in trouble. Eda has a flat face like us. What are we going to do? We're going to go back and we're going to look at the observational evidence. Let's push on the cool button and blow the face up so we can see the face. And sure enough, Eda has a short face like ours. I was like a teacher's worst nightmare. Any teachers in here tonight? I apologize. I will have to apologize for the rest of my life. I've seen the tops of so many teachers' heads. It's embarrassing. And it's not because I'm tall. It's because they would say something and my hand would go up. And when my hand would go up, their head would go down. What, Carl? It's the way I'm wired, man. I ask questions. I want to know. Short face like ours? Really? I compared her skull with a human skull. I then compared her skull with a lemur skull. Sure enough, looks like I will quit right now, never do another talk on this topic if anybody in here has a relative with a mug like that. You win, I'm done. Anybody in your family look like that? You win. Guys, that's as lemur gets. Look at their 3D reconstruction. This is their 3D reconstruction. This is a lemur. There's nothing different. Nothing. Oh, we're just getting started. We're just scratching.
When you're looking at the whole body, you can look at the quite short arms, quite short legs. Not these very, very long legs and arms, quite a small, compact body, like us.
Oh, boy. She's got short arms like us. So what are we going to do? We're going to go back and look at the observational evidence. We're going to push on the really cool button and blow up the arms and take a look. Guess what? Eda has arms that look exactly like a lemur. Don't trust me. I'm a Christian. Let's go back to the same TV program and take a listen to what they said.
Creating an accurate 3D model of Eda. Now the team can compare her skeletal anatomy with living animals in minute detail. Her body proportions and finger length suggest she's a lemur.
she has short arms like us. By the way, not just once.
But her body proportions and the length of her fingers are like a lemur's.
Twice in the same program. Guys, I literally could talk for 35, 40 minutes on just dissecting the pieces out of their program. You can do this. You don't have to have a PhD. You just need to critically evaluate the messages that they're throwing at us. I mean, when they tell us that she's got a hand like us, let's go look at the actual observational evidence. You look at the hand, you push the button on the fingers, you blow the fingers up, and guess what? Ida has a hand exactly like a lemur. There's no difference. And I mean, guys, you want me to quit talking on this topic? Glad to do so. You show me anybody in your family that's got a foot like that, if they can hang from a tree by their toes, I'm done. You win. It's easy to destroy the argument. Guys, that is a lemur foot. There's nothing human about that. I tell everybody, be patient, give science time, they will catch up to reality. Because you see, here's what's very interesting. And again, I can do more and more on that, but for time, I gotta conserve things. I'm talking days after the television program came out. The reports started coming out. Scientists divided on Ida as the missing link. Then the headline came out, why Ida Fossil is not the missing link. In order to establish that connection, Ida would have had to have had anthropoid-like features that evolved after anthropoids moved away from lemurs and other early primates. Here, alas, Ida fails miserably, so Ida is not a missing link. Be patient. Give science time. They'll catch up to reality. Oh, by the way, go to the website. You can still download or buy this program called The Link. And what do they write in the description? They know it's not a missing transitional form. They know it's not a missing link. Then why do they still have this in the description of the product that you can buy? Scientists have discovered the oldest and most complete fossil of a human ancestor. Excuse me, they now know it's not a human ancestor. Why do they still market it as a human ancestor? Your children are being lied to. They continue on. The fossil's remarkable state of preservation allows an unprecedented glimpse into early human evolution. They know it's not a human ancestor. They know it's not a link, and they still sell it to you as a link. You better teach your children how to critically evaluate the messages that they're coming after you with. Guys, there's a lot more on this one, but. Here's what bothers me. I want you to listen to the same guy that we've been listening to in some of those clips. Listen to him.
It's not a direct ancestor of monkeys and humans, but researchers say it provides a good indication of what such an ancestor may have looked like.
It is a member of the ancestors. We could call it, if we would put it familiarly, we are not dealing with our grand-grand-grand-grandmother, but perhaps with our grand-grand-grand-aunt.
That's the same guy when he wasn't on the TV program getting paid a lot of money to sell us a bill of goods, and he was just giving interviews with the media. Oh, by the way, what was the name of the television program? The website? The book? This fossil rewrites our understanding of the evolution of primates. If that's the best you got, we're doing okay. But there is one more that I want to try and get some pieces in, because you see, this is the superstar. This is Lucy. So we need to deal with her. You need to teach your children, because I'm telling you right now, every museum that I go to, Lucy's in there. By the way, she's also in a lot of zoos. A lot of zoos. Yeah, St. Louis Zoo. They got Lucy's reconstruction. You know who I'm talking about when I say Lucy, right? You know who I mean? Rocking the anthropological world the second Lucy is discovered in southern Uganda. That's not the Lucy I'm talking about. This is the Lucy that I'm talking about. Now do you know who I'm talking about? Okay. I mean, look at this. You want to get famous in the world of paleontology, you don't find monkey bones, you don't find human bones, you find an ape-like ancestor. How do you know if you have an ape-like ancestor? Something that looks like an ape fits the bill. I mean, neck up, that is one ugly lady. She fits the bill, brother, right there. But walks like a human. And look at there, she does, neck down, totally human. Only problem is when she had a bad hair day, it was all over her body. That's not a good thing for a lady. Lucy. I mean, this is it. This is the superstar. They got the bones out of Africa about 3 years ago, got them up to the States, and they were taking them around, putting them on display in museums. This was the commercial that they made. I was speaking in Shreveport, Louisiana at the time. They were driving children from Shreveport, Louisiana, all the way down to Houston to go see the bones. We're talking like 4 or 5 hour drive. And they're walking those children in there to look at Lucy's bones, and if you don't think that a museum's not like a church, oh my goodness, those children are walking in the lineup. Quiet, quiet. You're looking at Lucy. Her story is your story. And I'm like, dude, she's dead. Why can't I talk? You're not going to wake her up. And according to you, she's been dead for 3.2 million years. Why can't I talk? And by the way, it's monkey bones. Why can't I talk in front of monkey bones? I don't know what your story is, but her story is not my story, but you better know a little bit about her story, okay? This is what they actually found. There it is. There's the evidence proving the evolutionary ancestry of humans and apes. Really? A couple things we need to know about Lucy. Number one, German scientists started studying the bones in 1996, and they figured something out. When they first found the bones, they thought that she was a she. But in 96, the German scientists figured out that she was a he and wanted to rename her to Lucifer. I'm just telling you what they said. That's the name that they suggested. But I said amen, because I think this set of bones has been used more to light us than any other set of bones going. And number two, why was she so famous? Because she's 40% complete. Look at all the bones that we have. Guys, I skipped. You give me an hour and a half, I'll go through every one of the 17 ancestors that your tax dollars are paying to be put on display at the Smithsonian to teach your children, teach my children, teach our... Oh, we evolved. We'll go through all 17 of them, but you got to give me an hour and a half. And we're talking bone fragments. I'm talking 17 bone fragments, 3 pieces of a jaw. Lucy, though, she's 40% complete. That's not true. There are 206 bones in the human body as well as the chimpanzee adult, okay? You want to start counting bones? You don't get 40%. You get about 23 to 28%. Now, that's still really good. That's still really good compared to 17 bone fragments and 3 pieces of a jaw. My point is this. God says let your yes be and your no. You don't have to exaggerate. I'm not exaggerating. You just put it out there and let the chips go where they go. This is the skull. They found those fragments. This is the reconstruction of the skull. By the way, parents, you want to really make your children mad? Give them an assignment to go onto the internet, do the research. They can't use a Christian. They can't use a creationist resource, and get them to find 3 reconstructions of Lucy's skull from 3 different secular sources that agree with each other. If you go to CalvaryChapel.com, they're the main site, and they have the blogs. They actually carry my blogs up there. I did a 5-part series on Lucy. Go there, and I think it's 3, if you want to follow it in the series, where I show the skulls from different people, and this one's totally chimp, the others look human. You find everything. Why? Because all they have are fragments. And when you're putting fragments together, you're going to fill it in. What's going to fill it in? Whatever you think it looked like. This is the guy that discovered it, and listen to what he said about it.
As we assemble larger pieces from smaller pieces, joining them together, we begin to get a fairly impressive picture of a species that has a very ape-like face with big protruding brow ridges. Very ape-like.
Very ape-like. Why is it then that when you go on and do the research, you're going to find skulls that look human? And why is it that when you go into the Smithsonian, you're going to see a reconstruction? No, it doesn't look totally ape. It doesn't look totally human. I mean, that's obviously an ape-like ancestor. It's got features of both. Why does it look like both? Let me let the guy who made the reconstruction tell you why it has both. I wanted to get a human soul into this ape-like face to indicate something about where he was headed. Excuse me. You have a chimpanzee skull and you know he's headed somewhere? To get a banana? Yes. But anything other than that? I wanted to get a human soul into it. I mean, what makes it look a little human? Anything stand out to you? Oh, the eyes. The eyes. Remember that. Now notice this, reconstruction. Reconstructions are the only place where you start finding these things that look like ape and human ancestors. Only place. When you look at the actual evidence, oh, it doesn't support it. Look at the far left there. Look at the look on Lucy's face as she looks up at her man. Oh, what a good looking man I got. And in the middle, look at her. She's waving her hand. Hey, how y'all doing? Chimpanzees walk around like that. And the far left there, look, she's thinking about what's for dinner with the human hand. By the way, did they find any hand bones or foot bones for Lucy? And the answer is no. Then how do they know that she had a human hand and a human foot? You go into the museum, you're going to see human hand, human foot, human eyeballs. Did they find a fossilized eyeball? Trust me, they didn't find that either. Then why do you see human hand, human feet? By the way, those ancestors in the Smithsonian, there they are. And notice, wow, not totally ape, not totally human. And do you see the eyes? Simple question for you. Do apes have whites around their eyes? No, they don't. You take a chimpanzee skull, you stick a human eyeball in it in your reconstruction, it automatically looks more human. That is deception. That is deception. What's the observational evidence? Chimp, very ape-like. Isn't that what he said? Very ape-like skull. Guys, you need to know about this evidence. You need to teach your children how to give an answer. When you go to the museums and the zoos and you see Lucy with a human foot, I mean, that's a human foot. A little nair would solve the rest of the problem, but that is a human foot. You need to teach your children to think critically. They didn't find any foot bones. Now, they found some from her relatives, and guess what? They found hand and foot bones from Lucy's relatives, not Lucy. Lucy's an individual within a family. Does that make sense? We're family of humans here tonight. I'm an individual within this family. Does that make sense? Lucy was an individual within a family, and they didn't find any foot bones from Lucy, but they found them from her relatives, or his, depending on which one you accept. What did the hand and foot bones that they found from the relatives show? Non-Christian quote here. Ian Tattersall doesn't like Christians or creationists very much. This is what he wrote. In keeping with Lucy having had long and strongly curved finger and toe bones, as do chimpanzees and orangutans. If Lucy had strongly curved finger and toe bones, why is it that when you go into the museum, the zoo, do you see human hand, human foot on Lucy? Because you're being lied to. You're being lied to. You need to teach your children to critically evaluate the messages. Now, let me run through the television program that is still being used in the public school to teach your children that Lucy is one of our ape-like ancestors, and let's critically evaluate. Because in the beginning, God created, or did he? And what's the evidence that they're using to get us to doubt it? Right here.
We needed Owen Lovejoy's expertise again, because the evidence wasn't quite adding up. The knee looked human, but the shape of her hip didn't.
Oh, this is very important. Very important. If you're going to be an ape-like ancestor, you got to look like an ape and you got to walk like a human. If you're going to walk like a human, you better have a knee shaped like a human. You better have a hip shaped like a human. What did he just say? The knee looked human. Great. That fits the bill, right? Excuse me. Did they even find a complete knee for Lucy? No, they did not. So how do they know that it looked human? Don't trust me. Let's go to a non-Christian website. The skeleton called Lucy does not have an intact knee. Then how do you know that it looked human? That's a non-Christian website. I don't use Christian or creationist materials in my talks. I just take their stuff. By the way, he also said this, but the shape of her hip didn't. Now, this is very important, because if you're going to walk like a human, you have to have hips shaped like a...
Superficially, her hip resembled a chimpanzee's, which meant that Lucy couldn't possibly have walked like a modern human. But Lovejoy noticed something odd about the way the bones had been fossilized.
When I put the two parts of the pelvis together that we had, this part of the pelvis has pressed so hard and so completely into this one that it caused it to be broken into a series of individual pieces which were then fused together in later fossilization.
We got to talk about this. There's a lot going on here. Do you hear what he just told you? Her bones are broken after she died, then fused together in later fossilization. I am not trying to be crude or crass. When you die, are your bones fusing anymore? Your fusing days are done, my friend. You die, you decay. That's the process. Not trying to be disrespectful. That's just the way that it works. And then he said this, that her hips look chimp. Oh, no. If you got hips like a chimp, you can't walk like a human. What happened to change human hip Lucy to chimp hip Lucy? Let me let them tell you.
After Lucy died, some of her bones lying in the mud must have been crushed or broken, perhaps by animals browsing at the lakeshore.
This has caused the two bones, in fact, to fit together so well that they're in an anatomically impossible position.
You caught this, right? What happened to change human hip Lucy to chimp hip Lucy? Very simple. Lucy's taking a stroll down by the lake. She dies. Her body lays there. The flesh rots off. Along comes a deer and steps on the hip bones, crushing them, and then they fuse back together, but now they're curved like a chimp and not a human. And you think we're chasing after fairy tales and fables? Critical thinkers, help me. I know you know I need help. Animal dies down by the lakeshore. How long does it lay there for all the flesh to rot off so a deer can come step on the hips and break them? Animal dies down by the lakeshore, what's going to happen? Scavengers are going to come along and pick the thing and drag the bones all over the place. The fact that you found all those bones together in one place shows you something very interesting. That thing got covered up rapidly by water. Do we have an explanation? That's a different talk. Ooh, they fit together so well. They were in an anatomically impossible position. What does that mean? Well, they were shaped like a chimp, so she couldn't walk like a human. May I? Same evidence. Look at it from a different perspective. If she was a chimp, her hips should be curved like a... Nothing wrong with that.
The perfect fit was an illusion that made Lucy's hip bones seem to flare out like a chimp's. But all was not lost.
The perfect fit? Perfect fit? She had hips like a... Oh. That's an illusion. We have hope. Guys, name of the ministry, Reasons for Hope. Our hope is in Jesus. They have hope as well. Do you know where they place their hope? You know, this next clip that I'm going to show you, I've been showing it for a long time, and every time I showed it, my mind, I'm weird, I admit it, my mind immediately ran to the $6 million man. All right? You're going to understand in a second. You're going to understand in a second. I mean, guys, come on now, $6 million man, any middle-aged guys out here, come on. You know what I'm talking about. Lee Majors was the dude, man. When I was young, he was the man. He was married to Farrah Fawcett. It didn't get any better than that, brother. I mean, it's kind of sad now he's selling hearing aids, but he was the man in my day. But every time I show this clip, I think of the intro to the $6 million man. Take a listen.
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology.
I wish I had that voice. We can rebuild him. We have the technology. I want you to see where they place their hope. Oh, no. No, I don't. I want you to hear. So do me a favor. If your eyes are still open, go ahead and close them. It's only going to be for about 5 seconds. Close your eyes, and I want you to hear where they place their hope. Close your eyes. Take a listen. I'll tell you when to open them. Take a listen. You can open your eyes.
Lovejoy decided he could restore the pelvis to its natural shape. He didn't want to tamper with the original, so he made a copy in plaster. He cut the damaged pieces out and put them back together the way they were before Lucy died. It was a tricky job, but after taking the kink out of the pelvis, it all fit together perfectly, like a three-dimensional jigsaw puzzle. As a result, the angle of the hip looks nothing like a chimp's, but a lot like ours.
I hope so. If you take a Dremel and cut out the stuff you don't want, I hope it looks like what you want it to look like. That's the best they got? Guys, I told you I lead trips through the Smithsonian. I took 160 junior high students through there. They gave me an hour and a half. I went through all the ancestors. Then we went on the tour. And we're standing in there. We're standing in front of Lucy, the reconstruction of Lucy. And I'm pointing these features out. And a docent walks up and he pulls this picture off the top. And he says, "Isn't this amazing? Look at Lucy. She had human hands and human feet just like us." And I wanted to say something, but I didn't want to say something. You know what I mean? I'm honestly trying to work myself out of a job. I'm pouring into this younger generation because I want them getting up out of the pew sitting business and getting to the people getting business. And you will not get into the people getting business so you can sell out on the word. And you're not going to sell out on the word until you can give answers to this stuff because you're throwing it at us, okay? So I'm like, oh, please. Sure enough, young lady raised her hand. Yes! She goes, sir, we just got done listening to a speaker and he told us that they didn't find any hand or foot bones for Lucy. That's correct, but they found some from the relatives. Another young lady raised her hand. But sir, he told us that the hand and foot bones that they found were actually more curved than a chimpanzee. I don't know anything about that. But look at the hips. Lucy had human hips. She walked just like us. Another young lady raised her hand. Now I got ticked off. You know why I got ticked off? Because the guys are standing there like a bunch of lug nuts and the girls are doing all the talking. Ladies, don't listen for a second. This is not meant to you. Gentlemen, where are we? We're supposed to be the spiritual heads. We're supposed to be the warriors out there in the face of persecution, standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we got a bunch of lug nuts. Ladies, now you can listen. If you got a guy that's a lug nut, you better kick him to the curb. Because if he doesn't love Christ, he can't love you as Christ loved the church. We need some spiritual men. They need to do some talking. Now, ladies, you can talk too. I'm not trying to tell you to be quiet. But we need some men to step up. She goes, sir, we just got done watching a guy, and he showed us they took a Dremel to the hip and cut the stuff out to make it, because it looked like a chimp, to make it look like a human. I don't know anything about that. Where are you guys from? The church down this, and as soon as he heard church, it was like Bugs Bunny Roadrunner. Bing! And all you had was a little puff of dust, man. He was gone. Now, I do not advocate disrespect, impolite. I don't advocate that at all. God commands us to give an answer for the reason, for the hope that lies within us with meekness and fear. Now, I've thrown sarcasm on tonight to keep you awake. But when I get in conversations with people, they're not the enemy. Christ died for them as much as he died for us. People are blinded because this is all they've heard. They don't, guys, if I showed you this video and didn't do this teaching with you, you know what I know happens? Younger generation, they say, well, that just shows that we came from an ape-like ancestor. But when you start breaking it down, hold up. Did you see what he just said? Did you see what he just did? You teach them to critically evaluate. That's what's going to change the church. Because I'm not trying to get you to just think like me. I want you to think. We need a generation of thinkers, critical evaluators. Now. What's the truth about Lucy? I told you, the Houston Museum of Natural Science, they were taking the children through. They made a training guide for the teachers, and I guarantee you the teachers didn't read it because I got a copy. Let me read what they taught inside the study guide about Lucy. For 20 years, Lucy was thought to be the oldest human-like fossil ever found. Even though older fossils have been found in the past 13 years, Lucy remains the benchmark by which all other discoveries are judged. Now watch this. This is what they know. For many years, Lucy was thought to be a direct human ancestor, but we now see her as belonging to a separate group of hominids from those which became our species, Homo sapien. What does that say? Lucy is not an ancestor to apes and humans. That's what they teach. I take you through the Smithsonian, show you the tree of the human ancestors, and of the 17 ancestors that are on there, you follow the links on their website, David Cook, Hall of Human Origins, don't trust me. You follow the links on their website. Of the 17, 11 will tell you not a human ancestor. 11. Why do they stick them in the human family tree? Because there's nothing better to replace it with. You teach your children how to critically evaluate these messages. I could go through every one of them with you, but not tonight. Not tonight. Let me do one. I like this one. USA Today, about a year ago. Bone fossil points to a mystery human species. Oh, we are in trouble. Scientists discover an ancient human relative. Looks like Bigfoot to me. Researchers call this potential form of hominem X-woman. I'm trying to figure out what special power she had. Are you ready for this? Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? What did they find? In 2008, a team of archaeologists discovered fossilized, wait for it, fossilized fragment of a pinky finger. Now, if they had the whole pinky finger, I might be nervous. But for a fragment, I'm not scared at all. You don't need to be scared at all. Now, guys, I would ask you ask you to consider signing up on our mailing list and praying for us. Touching on these topics, you know I need prayers. Because this is something that sets people off. And I need your prayers. I really do. Let me give you a tool. Because I'm not just trying to sell you something. Any smartphone users in here tonight? iPad? Two people? Go to your app store. Type in Reasons for Hope. Use our app. Totally free. Video, answers, tools that you can use. Pray for us. We are creating the virtual tour right now through the Smithsonian, so you don't have to go to the Smithsonian. You can go on the app, on your iPad, go in, do the tour, and we talk about, it's like I'm giving you the tour that I would give to somebody else. We've recorded everything, and we've got it at a level that we're going to put it up, but I want you to pray for us that we can take it to the next level and do what we really want to do with it and make it sing. And we're giving it away, guys. I'm not trying to sell you anything. We're giving it to you. It's totally free. Put it to use. If you're not on our mailing list, I would ask you to sign up and pray for us. Now, why do I do these things? Because we need to know it, we need to live it, and we need to share it. And I didn't really get to do a lot of evangelism with you tonight. But guys, here's my heart. This is why. This is why I talk about these things. Not because I want to win an argument, but because I know that this is a tool that's causing us to doubt the Word of God, and that's the ultimate tool. 2-minute video, I'm done.
I will live my life according to these beliefs. God does not exist. It's just foolish to think that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. That an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world is a comforting thought. However, it is only wishful thinking. People can do as they please without eternal consequences. The idea that I am deserving of hell because of sin is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. The more you have, the happier you will be. Our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. In a world with no God, there's freedom to be who I want to be. But with God, life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. Without God, everything is fine. It is ridiculous to think I am lost and in need of saving. And that's how I felt before Christ opened my eyes, changed my heart, and reversed my thinking. I am lost and in need of saving. It is ridiculous to think everything is fine without God. Life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. But with God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. In a world with no God, our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. The more you have, the happier you will be, is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. Because of sin, I am deserving of hell. The idea that people can do as they please without eternal consequences is only wishful thinking. It is a comforting thought, however, that an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world, that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. It's foolish to think God does not exist. I will live my life according to these beliefs.
Church, will you stand with us?